Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. North Macedonia was once considered a front-runner for EU membership. Indeed, it was granted candidate status nearly 20 years ago alongside Croatia. But while Croatia joined the EU, North Macedonia has yet to formally open any negotiating chapters with Brussels, even though the screening process is well underway. Indeed, the country's accession has repeatedly stalled for many reasons that we'll get into with our guest. Aleksandar Nikolovski is Deputy Prime Minister of North Macedonia and a member of the ruling Democratic Party for Macedonian National Unity, or VMRO, which is part of the Conservative European People's Party at the European level. Welcome to the programme, Deputy Prime Minister.
Thank you for inviting me, and really it's an honour and a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's also worth reminding people that you're the Transport Minister of North Macedonia, and of course the country has a strategic position when it comes to connectivity, bordering as it does Albania, Greece, Bulgaria, Serbia and Kosovo. I'd like to start with your visit to France. Of course, France is the country that effectively blocked the opening of EU negotiations in 2019. That was a major blow. Is the relationship still suffering from that time?
I would say the times have changed, and now I can say that the cooperation is good on a very high level. This visit, this state visit, speaks a lot about what we can achieve. Many meetings, which were preceded by meetings by the ministers of foreign affairs, and we are expecting to continue this. As well, there was a meeting between the Prime Minister and President Macron, and we are looking forward to extend this. Regarding the European path that you mentioned, it's true that we are waiting for 25 years. It was 2000, I was in high school, when we got a association status to the European Union during the Thessaloniki summit. Back in 2005, I was already at university. We got candidate status, and back in 2008, first recommendation to open accession talks. Already, I was 2 years member of the parliament at that time. Today is 25. I'm deputy prime minister, and we have still not opened accession talks. There are many reasons, but two are crucial. For a long period, we had veto by Greece. It was resolved back in 2018. Then was the reform of the European Union and the bloc of France that you mentioned back in 2019. As soon as it was resolved in 2020, our dear friends from Bulgaria decided to issue veto on us. And since 2000, we are under veto of Bulgaria.
Yeah, and
unfortunately, the neighborhood of the country is as it is.
And I mean, how bad are relations now? Because a few months ago, some Bulgarian politicians actually demanded that you resign. I mean, it sounds quite bad at the moment.
Yes, so it's very strange when a foreign government is asking the domestic government who should be members of that government. And it's true that the former Prime Minister of Bulgaria, Boyko Borisov, who is still the most popular politician there and leader of the biggest political party, asked that I should resign if, as he said, Macedonia wants better relations with Bulgaria. I replied in that time. And if we see the period now, I have not resigned and I'm here and he is not Prime Minister. Which I think is a good lecture that you should look at your own domestic soil when you deal with politics, not with your neighbors. But the problem is more substantial than our bilateral or, if you want, personal relations.
Yeah, of course, because actually what Bulgaria says about the need to include Bulgarians into the constitutional amendments of North Macedonia, that was actually echoed by the European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee just in the last few days. So this goes well beyond, as you say, the Bulgarian-North Macedonia relationship. The EU Parliament, for example, wants you to press ahead with those constitutional amendments. And also, if we look at the last EU Commission report on enlargement, right, on the accession process of your country, it talks about some level of preparation in key areas. So it's not really a very strong endorsement of your reforms, to be honest.
So there are three separate pillars, I would say here. First, back in 2022, the previous government of Macedonia decided to sign agreement with Bulgaria, which we think is very bad. They accepted constitutional changes without having majority in the country. That's the first pillar. Second pillar are reforms, where if you see the EU growth plan, we are the best performer of reforms in entire Western Balkans. And we are very proud of that, not because of you, but because of us. because if we transform, it's good for the country. If we invest, it's good for the country. Maybe we'll speak about that later. And the third pillar is connected with the reality. You mentioned AFET and the report that was discussed on AFET. And this is the substance. Practically, the Bulgarians showed that it is not about the constitutional changes and getting people of Bulgarian origin into our constitution, but the problem is much deeper. They are neglecting our language, our culture, and our national identity. They say that instead of Macedonian language, it should be written modern Macedonian language, which means that the language was created last year, maybe. What is modern? Or instead of a sovereign Macedonian nation with long centuries heritage, to be written modern or present Macedonian nation, which in 21st century you just don't do. But that is the substance of the problem, that Bulgaria is using its membership into EU to post pressure on us in order to read the history, but as well the self-identification, the culture and the language through their deodatry, which you don't do in 21st century. In the same time, just one more sentence, there are 14 decisions by the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg for Macedonian minority in Bulgaria that Bulgaria is not implementing. So on one side, you don't respect what the European Court is saying. On the other side, you abuse your position to block the neighbor. That's why we are stuck.
To be fair, the EU is also putting pressure on you because the European Parliament noted what it called worsening trends in high-level corruption and low public trust in the judiciary. What would your response be to those two things?
I totally agree. This government was elected 1 year ago, and the biggest challenge was judiciary. The public trust in judiciary is only 2%, and we are not satisfied with the level of judiciary and prosecutory. We are speaking publicly about that, and we are under huge reforms in this moment to change this, because it's not only perception, it's the reality that we should change. Regarding the trust, it goes hand by hand with the reforms. So we will do this, and here we are in the same line with you, and we do the reforms together. There is big expertise that is coming from the European Commission that we are using for this, and we are thankful for that.
Okay. Let's get back a little bit to connectivity, because your government is aiming to boost domestic mobility, but also international linkages. What is the ultimate goal of all that?
We have very, very unique geographical location. It's not something secret that Balkan Wars and First World War were fighted around Macedonia. Two pan-European corridors are intersecting just east of our capital, Skopje, which is a unique case in entire Southeastern Europe. That is Corridor 10, which is the most important trade corridor in Europe. It connects the southern Greek ports, like Athens port and Thessaloniki port, with Central and North Europe. And it cuts the supply chain for 22 days if the ports are used good by good infrastructure. And second corridor is Corridor 8, which connects Ionian and Adriatic Sea with Black Sea. NATO alliance declared it as second most important corridor for NATO, because it is alternative route for supply of Ukraine. We want to develop both of them. For us, it's strategically very important, but economically very important. On Corridor 10, there is already full line of highways. Now we are starting to construct fast railway, 200 kilometers per hour passenger, 120 kilometers per hour ferry. And as well on Corridor 8, we are developing the highway. We expect to finish it by 2028-29. And parallel with that, hand by hand with the railway. So we have huge plans that are exceeding the domestic economy and the domestic performance. That's why we are looking for international friends. And that's why we signed government-to-government agreement with the United Kingdom, where we have £5 billion or €6 billion on disposal for these kind of projects. I'm looking for something similar as well in France. And we are looking for that kind of partnership with other countries in Europe as well.
Mm. I'd like to get back for a second to question of, well, it's related to EU membership, really, which is the level of public support for EU membership, because, of course, we've seen in other parts of the Western Balkans when countries don't make progress, there can be a drop in support, people get disillusioned. And one thing that your foreign minister has talked about is what he, and this is a quote from him, weaponizing Russian propaganda. In other words, that there's going to be perhaps a loss of influence of Brussels in North Macedonia to the benefit of other powers if this kind of stalemate continues. Is that a real concern?
Well, what is Bulgaria doing in the moment is in best service of Russia. I don't think they do it by purpose, but I think that by being blind with their request regarding our national identity, they serve the cause. On the other side, the support is very high, and maybe we are a unique case that should be studied maybe for a good PhD for some student, that on one side we are waiting for 25 years, and on the other side the public support is very high. A huge majority of the people are supporting membership in EU, as huge majority of the people give support to our membership in NATO. We are members in NATO. We are among the countries with highest support of the membership in NATO, which I think is very important. We have strategic partnership agreement with the United States. Now we signed with the United Kingdom. And I think it clearly says where we are and what we would like to achieve as a strategic orientation of the country.
Okay, well, we'll watch, of course, for the latest developments on your EU membership path. But meanwhile, thank you so much for being my guest, Alexander Nikolovski, Deputy Prime Minister of
Thank you, it was a pleasure.
North Macedonia. Thanks for watching us here on Talking Europe.